Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. God's word is powerful and life-changing. God's word is powerful and life-changing. God's word transforms. God's word is potent. God's word is powerful. God's word came to pass already in Christ Jesus. God's word has worked already, and it is working in our lives today because it worked in Christ Jesus. God has performed his word, and we are seeing a visible manifestation of that which Jesus has wrought already in our own lives. Thank God for the word. I welcome you once again to another powerful time and life-changing encounter with the word of God. Let's say a word of prayer quickly. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless your name, Lord. Thank you for the impact of your word. Thank you for the power in your word to save, the power in your word to liberate, the power in your word to set free and to deliver. Thank you for the power in your word to birth a transformation. Thank you for the power in your word to renew our minds and to shine light upon our minds. Thank you for the power of your word to illuminate and to enlighten. Thank you, Jesus. I pray for every soul under the sound of this voice today, that light will shine in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, that every confusion is dispelled by the power of the Holy Ghost. Every confusion is dispelled like a juggernaut crushing every opposition in its path. God's word will have a free course. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. And we receive healing for everybody. In the name of Jesus, whatever the ailments are, whatever the conditions are, you are sick in your body. I speak to that ailment, to that sickness, be gone and never return. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Hallelujah. So we've been studying spiritual growth and what it looks like. This is episode 136, and this is part 8 of this series, this particular series. Yesterday, I walked us through scriptures to show us that spiritual growth is about a change in conduct. Spiritual growth is about the influence of the Spirit in our conduct, in our character. Spiritual growth is not the same as salvation. People always mix these two things together. People say, the man is not saved. You say, why? You see the way he's behaving himself. Why? The man may be saved. Hallelujah. The man is saved if he has believed in the gospel. His attitude and conduct, which you do not agree with, because it's not in accordance with the word of God, is a reflection of spiritual immaturity, not of a loss of salvation or an absence of salvation. So salvation is a position that is void of your works, a position that is not based or influenced by anything you have done or you are doing. Salvation is the work of Christ from start to finish. You don't add anything to it. Hallelujah. Salvation is something that we cannot see or discern with our physical eyes. We can't see it. We can't judge a man's salvation by how he does things, by how he behaves himself or conducts himself. It could just be a reflection of his spiritual infancy. Hallelujah. A reflection of spiritual immaturity. So spiritual growth is the only thing we can judge by looking at a man. Hallelujah. The authenticity or the validity of a man's salvation is what the word says. If such a man has believed, then he's saved. Glory to God. Such a man is saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In salvation, it is not of works. In spiritual growth, we find a man doing good works. Hallelujah. Of course, good works occasioned by the Spirit of God. So, but in salvation, works are not required. Works are not found. You don't do anything to be saved. It's all the work of Jesus from start to finish. But in spiritual growth, the man matures and begins to bear fruit. The man matures and he begins to do good works, and it's by those good works you're able to judge that this guy is making progress in the faith. Glory to God. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. So I said yesterday, never be caught in the web or in this funny argument that says, you people should not judge me by what I do. You can't say I'm not growing now. It's between me and my God. There's nothing like that. Spiritual growth is discernible. Spiritual growth is something we can see. It is evident. It is visible. I can tell whether a man is growing or not growing by how he conducts himself. Hallelujah. I remember several years back, I would point to Christians, I would say, see, you're not growing in the faith. And they would say, why are you judgmental? You can't just be saying I'm not growing. It's between me and God. I used to be very shocked and held back by such responses. What do you mean by I can't judge your spiritual growth by how you are conducting yourself? No, it is your salvation I cannot judge like that. Your spiritual growth can be scrutinized by your attitudes. Praise God. I can look at the way you are behaving yourself and I say, you are not making progress in the faith. Glory to God. So look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, and then we'll go back to 1 Corinthians also. Very salient facts from the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. I'll read again from verse 12. Bible says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Give attention. Pay attention to doctrine, to reading, to exhortation. That is the public reading of scriptures. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by a prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Verse 15, point of emphasis. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. So your progress will be evident to all. There's no such thing as it's just between me and my God. It's, you know, it's only God that knows if I'm growing. No, men actually know whether you're growing or not, because it is something that is evident to all. Just like your spiritual immaturity is evident to all, your spiritual maturity is also evident to all. Hallelujah. So Paul says to meditate on these things, to think on these things, to give yourself entirely to these things. Feed on the word of God, public reading of scriptures, exhortation, doctrine. Give yourself wholeheartedly to these things, and then the result will be that your progress will be evident to all men. Hallelujah. You know, that word progress is the word profiting. Profiting, it means your advancement, your furtherance, your spiritual maturity, your growth in the faith will be evident to all men. Glory to God. And I showed us yesterday at Acts of Apostles chapter 6, when there was crisis in the early church, you know, and of course, if you look at that event very well, it must have been that some of those who were put in charge of handling food were walking in carnality. You know, because what they pointed out as the problem was that they were neglecting certain people. They were discriminating against certain people. Praise God. Have you noticed that before? Look at Acts 6. Hallelujah. So you notice, because of their immaturity, there was crisis in the church. Acts of Apostles in chapter 6. Glory to God. I'll read from verse 1. The Bible says, now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. There seemed to be a form of discrimination that was going on. They were neglecting certain widows in the church. They were not distributing to them. They were not serving them food. Imagine that. So the only solution to this problem was to look for men who would not be partial in their judgment. Men would serve with the Spirit of Christ, serve in love. Men would be mature enough to not play favoritism. So they said, seek among yourselves, from verse 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom may appoint over this business. Whom we may appoint over this business. So you see, they could discern in their midst certain men that were good, that were of good reputation, that were full of the Holy Spirit, that were full of wisdom. Hallelujah. It is something we can see. Notice that they didn't say, go and pray that God should show you. Hallelujah. It's always a funny sight when you find people praying for choosing the next leader in church. You are praying to choose the next leader. You are praying and trusting God to just show you the next leader. And then they eventually now pick somebody that is so carnal in the church, and they say, well, that's God's choice. God chose him. That's a disaster. In the early church, they could look among themselves. Glory to God. They could look among themselves and choose. It's a different thing if God wants to appoint, you know, in the case of Paul and Barnabas, by the Holy Ghost, they knew that Paul and Barnabas had been set aside for a particular work, the work of an apostle. It's a different thing if you want to appoint a man as a pastor. Of course, beyond the fact that the man is knowledgeable and all that, we can be led of the Spirit to choose such men. But however, we can't choose such men without using our discretion. We must be able to look at the life of that person. That's why, look at this now, First Timothy, you see that in choosing pastors in the early church, they were to look at the people. They must see certain salient qualities, attributes and characters, conduct that is worthy of that office. Hallelujah. So you don't say, well, they just appointed me as pastor. It was the Holy Ghost that chose me. Or you say, it was the Holy Ghost that chose that guy. Though he's of a very terrible conduct, the Holy Ghost just chose him. No. The Holy Ghost will never choose a man whose conduct is not up to the standard required in scriptures. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'll read from verse 1. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. So it can be desired. That is, you can look at yourself and say, well, I want to be a pastor. And you see, many times that desire is put in you by God himself. So you can look at yourself and you desire the office of a pastor. We don't just appoint people. Sometimes there are people who have the passion to feed the flock, the passion to serve the saints in that capacity. God has put it within them. Do you know that when God called Paul to be an apostle, nobody was there. It was communicated to Paul, but the early church later confirmed it. So it can be desired. Hallelujah. And Paul had started ministry immediately. Paul went out doing the work of an apostle already. And then he joined the early church, and then he served in the early church, and later they set him apart with Barnabas to focus on that work. So if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Look at verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. Have you seen? Salient qualities. I remember some years back, a particular young man on Facebook said, Paul wrote a lot of instructions on how to choose leaders in the church, but he believes it's just by grace. It is not by many things. This young person was struggling to make a distinction between salvation and spiritual growth. You see, the qualification for being saved is grace. The qualification for Christian service, or for Christian leadership rather, is the grace of God and spiritual maturity. The grace of God haven't produced in you spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Because these qualities in this place are not things that Paul expected those bishops or those guys to desire to achieve by their works. No, these qualities are a byproduct of spiritual maturity. The man that matures in the faith will be a man that is blameless in these things. Will be a man that is sober-minded, that is of good behavior, that is hospitable. Hospitable. Do you know there are pastors who struggle to share with the saints? Hallelujah. Pastors who struggle to entertain the saints. They are not hospitable. They are unapproachable. Pastors you can't walk up to. That's a problem. That's a serious delineation from Bible instruction. Hallelujah. It says not given to wine. Somebody who is not a drunkard. You can't say the Holy Ghost just chose the person. Hallelujah. I don't know if this is true. I heard that a particular pastor in this nation said that the person that is going to take over from him, he doesn't know yet. The person can even be in the beer parlor right now, drinking his life away. I don't know how true that is. I mean, but if that's true, then that's a faulty statement. Hallelujah. That's a faulty statement. By this time, the person should already be in the ministry and should be trained. Because the Holy Ghost will not just pick people by, you know, at random. There are certain salient qualities and values and conducts we are to be on the lookout for. Signs of spiritual maturity. Hallelujah. Not giving to wine, not violent. Imagine a pastor that is violent. There have been cases of pastors, leaders of church that slapped, you know, church members. In this nation, he couldn't control his temper. Someone does something wrong, you slap the person. Wah! Imagine, a pastor. That is wrong. That is totally unacceptable according to scriptures. We found pastors who threw the microphone at their church members. You say, technical guys, why is the sound messing up? Then the person says, I'm sorry, and you stone the person with the microphone. Glory to God. Pastors acting like, you know, Muslim clerics, flogging church members. Such a man is not fit for spiritual leadership in the body of Christ. He says, not greedy for money. Have you seen? These are very salient facts, salient points, rather, or salient qualities. Not greedy for money. The man must not be covetous. He must not be greedy for money. Otherwise, he will use the church as he will use the church for his own lust. Hallelujah. He says he must be gentle. He must not be quarrelsome. Look at verse 4. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. In fact, if you get to verse 6, it says not a novice. Have you seen? It is not God. It was just God that picked him now. We can't be arguing against God. This man does not know scriptures. He's new. He's a young convert. He's new in the faith. What can he teach? He said, it was just God that chose him. He's not God. That's nothing but the result of a careless appointment by the leadership of the church. Praise God. You can't choose a man that cannot teach and appoint him as a pastor over the flock of God. Look at verse 7. It says, verse 6 again, not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. That is, not only should we see him in the church as a man who has a good testimony, not only should he be of good report in the church, even outside the church, that is, unbelievers should also be able to say, this guy is a Christian. Hallelujah. You know, unbelievers don't know the difference between salvation or spiritual growth. So the only thing they will say is, this man must be a man of God. He must be a true Christian. Hallelujah. So unbelievers should be able to even bear witness to your lifestyle. At your workplace, your boss should be able to say, this guy, this lady is a Christian. Glory to God. You must be full of good testimonies from those who are outside. Anybody that speaks ill of you, or speaks evil of you, should be doing it from a place of envy and jealousy and hatred, not as an honest appraisal. If the person gives an honest appraisal, it should be that you are a good Christian, you are a good person. But then out of envy, people can speak evil of you. That is understandable. Glory to God. So spiritual growth is something discernible. We can see it. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians again, chapter 3. You see that's why Paul could look at the church and say, you are carnal. It was by their attitudes. Glory to God. By their attitudes. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. By their attitudes, Paul knew that they were carnal. It is something that is evident. Spiritual maturity is evident. Spiritual immaturity is evident. Spiritual maturity is evident. And spiritual immaturity is also very, very evident. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. Verse 3, for you are still carnal. How did he arrive at this conclusion and this judgment? He says, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So he referred to them as babes based on their attitudes and conduct. Praise God. So these are things we can clearly see and judge. Your attitude, your conduct, the way you conduct yourselves in the midst, you conduct yourself in the midst of the saints, the way you conduct yourself in relationships. Listen, spiritual growth, spiritual maturity is judged and discerned mostly in relationship. Hallelujah. It's in relationship. It's in relationship with men. I'm going to come to that very well in this series. Now, one of the mistakes people always make in judging spiritual maturity is that they assume that a man that is very charismatic is spiritually mature. That's a major problem. Hallelujah. That's a wrong way to judge spiritual maturity. You know, I've been emphasizing conduct, conduct, conduct. And you might be wondering, okay, what about the place of the gifts of the Spirit? The gift of the Spirit is not a reflection of spiritual maturity. It is not. Listen to me carefully. If being charismatic is the same as spiritual maturity, if being charismatic, translates into spiritual growth, then the Corinthian church was a church of mature believers. Hallelujah. Because these guys were walking in all the gifts of the Spirit. They had all the demonstrations of the Spirit. Like Reverend Ade Adebayo will say, that the Corinthian church did not have a problem of no fire. They had a problem of unguarded fire, unguarded zeal, and passion, and a lot of charismatic activities were going on in that place. Hallelujah. Paul was not writing to them to persuade them, like the Nigerian church, to persuade them of the reality of tongues. You know, in the Nigerian church, the problem is a different one entirely. Well, we are trying to persuade believers that tongues is for everybody. But in the Corinthian church, people were already praying in tongues. The only problem is that they will pray in tongues for show off. They will pray in tongues. You want to give a message to the church, you pray in tongues, talk in tongues at the people, and you go and sit down without interpretation. That was the problem. Unguarded wildfire. Disorderliness. Praise God. A disorderly use of the gift of the Spirit. That was the only problem in the Corinthian church. But they came behind in no gift of the Spirit. Yet, these are the people that Paul says, they are carnal, they are babes in Christ Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll read from verse 7. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift. Have you seen? You come short in no gift, enriched in all utterance and knowledge. They came short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end. So these guys were walking in the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. They were walking in the gifts of the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14. Hallelujah. I'll read from verse 9. Bible says, so likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue what is easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Verse 12, point of emphasis. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. That was the problem in the Corinthian church. They were wild in their passion for the gifts of the Spirit. They were zealous for spiritual gifts. The only problem was that they were not seeking it for the edification of the body. It was mere show off. Hallelujah. So, like I said, they will come, give a word in tongues, and go to their seats. Give a word in tongues, go to their seats. In fact, when somebody comes to say he has a word as a prophet, another prophet will just get up and begin to talk also. There was so much disorderliness because they were just doing it as a, you know, who is who kind of thing. Not for edification. Hallelujah. So, they were not lagging in all the gifts of the Spirit. They only had disorderliness in the midst of it all. Praise God. Look at this now. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're still there. Look at this, 1 Corinthians and chapter 14 and verse 20. It's in this context Paul now says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. That is, the stuff they were doing in the church, that approach to walking in the gifts of the Spirit, agendered into malice, into all kinds of funny things. Agendered into envy, malice, rivalry. So he says, don't be children in understanding. You should know the reason for the gift. Hallelujah. You should know the reason for the gift. If you look at verse 18 and verse 19, that's what he said up until that point. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Now that's a mature believer. That because I want to be a blessing to people, when I stand in front of the church, I would rather speak 10,000 words in my understanding. Not to show them that I can speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Though I can speak 10,000 words in tongues outside the church, in the church, I would rather speak 5 words in my, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Hallelujah. That is, I'd rather spend 5 minutes saying something that will profit you than go on 2, 3, 4, 7 hours talking in tongues, yelling at the crowd or the audience, and then going back to my seat. I'd rather speak 5 words that people can understand than speak 10,000 words that have no meaning to the people that are listening to me. That's spiritual maturity. A man seeking the spiritual gift for the edification of the body. So being charismatic is not in itself a sign or a proof of spiritual maturity. But if you grow up in the faith, you'll be charismatic with the right motive. Hallelujah. If you grow up in the faith, you'll be charismatic with the right motive. Love will be the motivation for the expression of those gifts. That's why Paul had to write to them a whole chapter, chapter 13. Glory to God. A whole chapter. Look at verse 31 of chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 31. It says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. A more excellent way. And then it gets to chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. So you see that there's an underlying character and conduct required, even for the demonstration of the gift of the Spirit. When the demonstration of the gift of the Spirit is not about what people will think of you, it's not about showing yourself as a great man of God, it's not about people applauding you and saying that you also flow in the things of the Spirit. It's now about being a blessing to others. So there's an underlying character that is necessary. It is this attitude of love. And that is the conduct that comes to the fore. That is the conduct that you begin to manifest and show and exhibit when you mature in the Christian faith. So don't make the mistake. Don't ever assume that a man is mature because he's charismatic. Hallelujah. The man is full of tongues, talking in tongues. He can talk in tongues from now till tomorrow. Ideally, tongues is meant to edify him. Glory to God. But see, sometimes the man blasting tongues in church doesn't pray in tongues like that regularly. So that tongues will not really have effect on him because that tongues is for show off in church. So don't assume that because he's praying in tongues, he's spiritually mature. He may be a babe in the faith. Hallelujah. Don't assume that because the man is so gifted with prophecy, he comes up and then every time he gives a prophecy, it is right on point. Hallelujah. Bullseye. Don't assume he's mature as a Christian. Because a man is working miracles. Listen, a Christian who is a babe in the faith can work miracles. Hallelujah. Or you don't believe this. If a new convert can speak in tongues, he can prophesy. Such a new convert can work miracles. Because it's the same ability by the Spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for the profit of all. So it is the same Spirit working the same things through everyone. The same Spirit. So if the Spirit can give tongues, the Spirit can also inspire prophecy. The Spirit can also, lead the man to walk in miracles and walk in gifts of healings. It's the same Spirit. Glory to God. That's why on the day of Pentecost, you notice that they all spoke with tongues. It was not about ranks. Some were apostles and some were just church members. Everybody spoke with other tongues because it was not about maturity or anything. It was just a reflection or a manifestation of the Spirit of God on the inside. Praise God. That was it. Now, this is why even in the ministry of Jesus, if you track down to the ministry of Jesus, you notice that those guys were not even saved. They were not even spiritually mature. I mean, they had none. Yet they were working signs and wonders. They were working miracles. Just like the prophets in the Old Testament. They were not saved. They were not maturing in the faith either, because they were not even in the faith. Praise God. I mean, in the context of being born again now. They had none of those things, but they were working signs and wonders. Because there was an enablement or an operation of the Spirit in the Old Testament called the Spirit upon. So they just had the Spirit of God come upon them and they began to do exploits. That's the same way Bible says Jesus called his disciples to himself and he gave to them power over unclean spirits. I don't know how he did it. He might have, of course, he gave them his name. But it's also possible he laid his hands on them. Anything. But then we know that they operated in a dimension, of working in power, working in miracles. And guess what? Judas was among them. Hallelujah. Judas, that was stealing from the offering box, was also there, working miracles. Glory to God. Look at Luke chapter 9. Hallelujah. Luke's Gospel chapter 9. Bible says, then he called his 12 disciples to him together. Luke 9 verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. 12 disciples. So Judas was a part of these guys. And he went out in the power of God. He went out in the power of God, calling the name of Jesus, and demons were subject to him. Demons were subject to the name of Jesus from his lips. Demons obeyed his word and his authority. Judas, a man that was not born again. So you are going to be making a very serious mistake judging spiritual growth by spiritual charisma. Hallelujah. Judging spiritual growth by being charismatic. You see a man who is so charismatic and then you say he's a spiritually mature person. You're going to be making a very serious mistake of your life. Hallelujah. Some of the most ruthless atrocities, some of the most ruthless things done in the body of Christ today were perpetrated by men that were workers of miracles. Hallelujah. Men were working miracles, working in signs and wonders, very ruthless things. And then people are shocked because most times people assume that because the man of God is so anointed in quotes and is doing exploits, then he's also a mature person. You find people who have scandals of impregnating women, all manner of things, embezzling church money, and then you are wondering, but this man is a great man of God. He's healing the sick. He's doing the... Yeah, see, don't despise the power of God at work in his ministry because it's a gift. Hallelujah. But do not judge his spiritual maturity by the gift. You'll be making a mistake if all you can see in his life are expressions of the gifts of the Spirit and you cannot see maturity in the area of conduct. Praise God. And you see, that's not the time when the man of God should say, I'm just a man. You should know I'm just a man. Shut up. You are not just a man. You should have grown in the faith. You are a man of God. Hallelujah. Those are flimsy excuses that people bring up when they are corrected or they are instructed to act the way they ought to act in the faith. A man of God, a pastor, a leader that is misbehaving in the body of Christ and he says, I'm just a man. Just know I'm a man first. I'm first of all a man. We know you're a man, but you're a man of God. You can be a perfect man, a mature man in the faith. You can be mature. You can grow to maturity to a point where you're exemplary in your conduct, in your attitude. Glory to God. So we judge spiritual maturity solely on the basis of conduct. So being charismatic is not the same as spiritual growth, but spiritual growth would affect the way you are being charismatic. Hallelujah. Have you seen people who when they walk in the gift of word of knowledge, they don't even know what which one to say publicly, which one to not say. Because for them, it's all an ego show. Hallelujah. It's all showmanship. So there are certain things you should not say publicly, even when you hear God clearly. You should reach out to the person privately. But because it's all about their ego, hallelujah. I'm not saying everybody that does that is in the same category. For some, they're just ignorant. I mean, it's possible they learned from somebody who used to do that. So, but then, most times, it's just showmanship. But when you grow spiritually, it affects the way you even relay those messages because you have matured and you have grown in the faith. Hallelujah. So, we'll continue from here tomorrow. Don't forget to tune in. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of spiritual songs, full of prayer, full of the Holy Ghost, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.